The Lord has so blessed us with a beautiful teaching tonight to help us to recognize our adversaries. And today is September the 21st, 2015. First of all, I'd like to thank those who've been writing into us and encouraging, and all of you who've been praying for us. We really appreciate it. Your prayers are felt and very much appreciated. The Lord return many, many blessings back to you for your kindness to us. Thank you. Tonight I wanted to sit under the tree again with the crickets. And under the tree I felt such a sadness deep in the Lord's heart. I saw him fairly quickly. And I said, please, Lord, share your feelings with me. What do you have to say to the flock that follows after you, Lord? He replied, how much I appreciate them. This world is cold, so cold and indifferent, especially in your country. To find the warm arms of my waiting bride is a prize beyond compare. Since I had been waiting on him for a while just to hear him, I asked Ezekiel if it was the Lord, and he prayed and got confirmations that it was the Lord. But Jesus didn't miss a beat. He said, what? You don't know my voice yet? And I said, well, why did you wait until Ezekiel got up from his nap before you started speaking to me, Jesus? And he replied, this is a two-man ship. One stands before me petitioning, and the other writes. You very much need one another. How blessed you are to have this relationship. I give all the credit to you, Lord. Yes, while you waited for my choice, I wish all would do that. Thank you, Lord. Never will I be able to thank you sufficiently. Just take good care of him, like I know you do. That says it all. Yes, under the tree you were feeling my sadness and the state of souls who refused to respond to me. I call and call and call all the day long, and nothing, not even a whimper, just death upon death. Souls that are stone cold dead and unresponsive weigh me down. This is why the shaking needs to come. Comfort zones need to be shattered. Those encrusted with the world need to be stripped. Oh, if only I could do it another way. I would much prefer that. But other ways are too mild and don't get their attention. What about sickness, Lord? Yes, that always elicits a response, but as soon as they're better, they forget about me again. You will never really understand how much joy the souls on this channel bring me. It's hard to fathom how a creature could bring me so much joy, but they do. I'm so grateful that I'm answering many, many of their prayers and preparing them for greater graces. Yes, my spirit is moving upon the troubled waters of their families and beginning to stir the dead back to life, and they will lift up their eyes unto the hills from whence I come. It is happening slowly and imperceptibly, almost, but the ice is beginning to thaw. Don't rush them, dear brides. Let me open the petals of curiosity and hunger so they will receive the sun's rays. Others in families are still quite hardened. Leave them to me. Put confidence in my promises to you and leave them in my capable hands. I alone understand the times and seasons for them to repent, and I am patient, endlessly patient. So place your hope firmly in me and let them go. Don't fret. That only wastes energy. Rather, take those thoughts captive and put your trust in me. Those who put their trust in me will never be put to shame. As the Lord was talking, I saw a board game set before me, and there were large gold coins stacked in front of me. and we all took our coins and moved them over to the Jesus position. We'd been holding on to them, hoping for a breakthrough. But since nothing happened, we were releasing them in trust, totally to the Lord. Jesus, I trust in you. As a result, they were no longer before us where they could torment us with the bad possibilities and outcomes. Rather, they'd been turned over to the Lord for him to invest. The Lord continued, "Wicked are the times, and the more wicked they become, the more my people need to know what is behind that wickedness, lest they slay the ignorant and let the culpable go free onto the next victim. It is so easy for you to place blame on others when they act badly. So easy. It's like stating the obvious with self-assured confidence. But nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it is the ignorance and weakness of those being used that allows them to impact you. If they knew, if they saw, if they understood, they would turn on the real enemy and stop allowing themselves to be used. But there's a certain release of anger and frustration that is satisfying to those who abuse others. They themselves have been oppressed and bottled up for so long, it's actually a relief to find someone they can vent on. Someone who it seems obvious to them they should vent on. And my people in their self-righteousness think it fitting to retaliate. Yes, you know you've been way guilty of this, Claire. Was I acting innocent, Lord? No, but you were thinking of others, not yourself. That's dangerous, my love. Always to be safe, put yourself in there. Besides, you almost always belong there. When I speak to my bride, I am speaking to you also. I know, Lord. Thank you for not letting me forget it, lest I become more proud than I already am. Good thinking. Rest assured, I won't. He smiled. No, but I can't stress enough for all of you to be aware that every single day assignments are being made against you, and what seemed like a trickle of oppression before is about to become a torrent as Satan turns more and more people against Christians. This is why I want you to be aware. Those who calumniate you, persecute and downgrade you, blame you for things you never even thought of. They are in a vice grip with demons of hatred, scorn, and contempt. With the new dimensions opening up comes a torrent of evil to be used in assignments. Now he's referring to CERN here with that new dimension that was opened up. What was a trickle is about to become a torrent. May I say, I even allow that for your sanctification, but never will I allow it to overwhelm you. The more you grow in holiness, the stiffer the tests. Remember, I'm bringing you to perfection, from glory to glory. Glory comes at a price, as you observed in my passion. And then the Lord quoted the scripture, "Indeed, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." That's Romans 8:17. When you are in the grips of the attack, try to visualize yourself in the courtyard being whipped. Cry out to me to uphold you. Know that your adversary is not the poor slave to evil who is whipping you, but the demons behind him or her. You see, these vile creatures have lusted for the flesh of man since the foundation of the world. But those dimensions were closed. Now that they've been opened, what evil has burned after for centuries can finally get access in order to vent their fury and devour those in my image. Yes, their hatred is against me, but being unable to touch me, they attack my creation, and especially those souls who love me with all their hearts. So the lesson is, start recognizing your adversary. This will keep you from sinning against the weak and ignorant. Yes, they are cooperating with evil, but on their own they most likely would have passed by the opportunity to make trouble for you. It's the thorn in their side, the poisoned arrow shot by the demons, that's egging them on and on, fueling the fires of hatred without cause. In that moment when he said that, I thought of Rick Joyner's dreams. And the Lord replied, "Yes, I gave those to him in the hopes that all of you would see who your real adversary is." Those dreams are important for you, my bride. Read them and let the lessons go deep. They will be immensely helpful in the moments of trial. There are many, many good lessons in his books. I love allegory, and the contrast between good and evil is best portrayed in allegory. In his dreams, he talks about creatures landing in a tree, vomiting, urinating, and defecating on people. That's precisely what I mean. That's fueling the fire. Well, I come to you, my bride, in all seriousness. Take these lessons to heart and prepare yourselves to recognize and deal with the true enemies. Once they have been dealt the fatal blow, you can minister to those that have been their captives. And with that, the Lord finished his message. And I just happened to Google Rick Joyner just to see what would come up. And the Final Quest series came up. It's a prophetic bulletin number 11 by Rick Joyner. And it's called "The Hordes of Hell Are Marching." And it's kind of a shortened form of what the books contain. And I really believe the Lord wants me to share this with you. So hang on to your seat here for a minute and tune into this. It's pretty amazing. On February the 16th in 1995, I was given a dream in which I saw a great army from hell that had been released against the church. 2 days later, I was given a vision in which I saw this diabolical horde again, but in much greater detail. This is an abbreviated version of the first part of that vision. The second part will appear in the next edition of the Morning Star Journal. So you can find this online. I'm also going to have Carol make a PDF of this. It's called the Final Quest series, so that you can download this. And I know it's available, the book's available on Kindle. "There are some aspects," he says, "of this vision that were honestly repulsive, but I have tried to share it just the way I saw it. The works of darkness are repulsive, in the most profound sense of that word, and we must recognize them as such. In the first part of this vision, I saw the degree to which this evil has its grip on believers, how many Christians are being used by the enemy, and what it will take to set them free. In the second part of the vision, I saw a unified, glorious church rise up as a great army in the most pivotal battle of all time between light and darkness. This battle is already beginning to rage." And this is what the Lord was talking about, guys, when he said that these demons have been released. He continues, "Dreams and visions are usually metaphorical, and this one definitely is. Even so, what it represents is real and is happening now. It was for this reason I decided to share it in this abbreviated form, even though it may at times seem incomplete. If you hear the Lord's voice through this vision, do not harden your heart. Put on the whole armor of God and prepare for the battle." The evil army. "I saw a demonic army so large that it stretched as far as the eye could see. It was separated into divisions, with each carrying a different banner. The foremost and most powerful divisions were pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, and unrighteous judgment. but the largest of all was jealousy. The leader of this vast army was the accuser of the brethren himself. I knew that there were many more evil divisions beyond my scope of vision, but these were the vanguard of this terrible horde from hell that was now being released against the church. The weapons carried by this horde had names on them. The swords were named Intimidation, the spears were named Treachery, and their arrows were named Accusations, Gossip, Slander, and Fault-Finding. Scouts in smaller companies of demons with such names as Rejection, Bitterness, Impatience, Unforgiveness, and Lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare for the main attack. I knew in my heart that the church had never faced anything like this before. And as an aside here, guys, this is quite amazing because these are the things the Lord has been teaching us on. He's been trying to improve our understanding of virtue and getting these things out of our system so we don't become the slaves to evil being used to destroy the body. So all of the teachings that he's been giving us for the last few months are very, very pertinent to this battle that's going on and is going to intensify as more and more demons are released. Returning to his narrative, the main assignment of this army was to cause division. It was sent to attack every level of relationship: churches with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands and wives, children and parents, and even children with each other. The scouts were sent to locate the openings in churches, families, or individuals that rejection, bitterness, lust, etc. could exploit and make a larger breach for the divisions that were coming. The most shocking part of this vision was that this horde was not riding on horses, but on Christians. Most of them were well-dressed, respectable, and had the appearance of being refined and educated. These were Christians who had opened themselves to the powers of darkness to such a degree that the enemy could use them and they would think they were being used by God. The accuser knows that a house divided cannot stand, and this army represented his ultimate attempt to bring such complete division to the church that she would completely fall from grace. And as an aside, this is why we have Heart Dwellers. This is why we have a website and the teachings, because love covers all over all of this. And refusing to get involved and embroiled in condemnation and fault-finding, we are being prepared to be used by the Lord. And Heart Dwellers is all about dwelling in his heart and having a heart for unity in the body. Not division, but unity. He continues, the prisoners. Trailing behind these first were a vast multitude of other Christians who were prisoners of this army. They were all wounded and were guarded by little demons of fear. There seemed to be more prisoners than there were demons in the army. Surprisingly, these prisoners still had their swords and shields, but they did not use them. It was shocking to see that so many could be kept captive by so few of these little demons of fear. This could have easily been destroyed or driven off if the prisoners had just used their weapons. Above the prisoners, the sky was black with vultures, named Depression. Wow, we all suffer from that. These would land on the shoulders of a prisoner and vomit on him. The vomit was condemnation. When the vomit hit a prisoner, he would stand up and march a little straighter for a while, and then slump over, even weaker than before. Again, I wondered why the prisoners did not simply kill these vultures with their swords, which they could have easily done. Occasionally, a weak prisoner would stumble and fall. As soon as he or she hit the ground, the other prisoners would begin stabbing them with their swords, scorning them as they did so. They would then call for the vultures to begin devouring the fallen one even before they were dead. As I watched, I realized that these prisoners thought that the vomit of condemnation was truth from God. Then I understood that these prisoners actually thought they were marching in the army of God. This is why they did not kill the little demons of fear or the vultures. They thought these were messengers from God. The darkness from the cloud of vultures made it so hard for these prisoners to see that they naively accepted everything that happened to them as being from the Lord. How many people get on our YouTube channel and start railing on us? Wow, and they think they're doing God a service by tearing the body apart. Continuing on, the only food provided for these prisoners was the vomit from the vultures. Those who refused to eat it simply weakened until they fell. Those who did eat it were strengthened, but with the strength of the evil one. They would then begin to vomit on others. Oh, this is making me sick, guys. I better drink something bubbly before I really get sick. When one began to do this, a demon that was waiting for a ride would be given this one, and he or she would be promoted to the front divisions. Even worse than the vomit from the vultures was a repulsive slime that these demons were urinating and defecating upon the Christians they rode. This slime was pride, selfish ambition, etc. That was the nature of the division they were a part of. However, this slime made the Christians feel so much better than the condemnation that they easily believed that the demons were messengers of God. And they actually thought this slime was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wow, how many times have we felt better about ourselves when we could find fault with someone else? That's exactly what he's talking about here. That was the slime. You know, you feel condemned for so long that when you can find fault with other people, you feel like stand tall and talk about how bad they are. You know, that's the slime that makes you feel better. Boy, I can just recognize this all over the place. Then the voice of the Lord came to me saying, "This is the beginning of the enemy's last day army. This is Satan's ultimate deception, and his ultimate power of destruction is released when he uses Christians to attack other Christians. Throughout the ages, he has used this army, but never has he been able to capture so many to be used for his evil purposes. Do not fear. I have an army too. You must now stand and fight, because there's no longer any place to hide from this war. You must fight for my kingdom, for truth, and for those who have been deceived." Amen.